Americans love transformation stories. It seems to be an inherent part of our DNA. Give us a rags to riches type of story, or I once was but now I am kind of story. And I think it's fair to say that you're speaking the American language. There's just something that thrills us about that movement from one state of life to another state of life. A good illustration of this is the kind of TV shows that are in vogue these days. Home improvement shows that move rundown shacks into multi-million dollar dream homes. Style makeover shows such as What Not to Wear, where homely and fashion-challenged individuals are turned into fashion icons. Cooking shows where people who are absolutely horrible in the kitchen are made into at least B-grade chefs. And diet and exercise shows where those who are obese are transformed into the athletic. The illustrations, of course, could go on and on and on, but you get the point. We like these kinds of transformations. We like to hear these stories of transformation. But why do we like to hear these stories of transformation? Why do we like these kinds of stories? What drives our need to hear that people can move from one situation to another? What makes this such an inherent part of our DNA? The answer, from a theological perspective, is that we all seem to know that deep down, things, as they currently are not how they should be. There is something broken in this world. We people do not think and act the way that we ought to think and act, especially with regard to one another. The nightly news can paint you plenty of pictures of that story. We do not care for God's good creation the way that we were called to care for God's good creation, the way that we were in fact made to care for God's good creation. Instead, we pollute it, we pillage it, and we destroy it. And we don't regard God the way that we should. For most of us, God is nothing more than an annoyance. He's a buzzkill or a killjoy who is prohibiting us from having the fun that we want to have. He's nothing more than a legal eagle who's flying around looking to ruin all of our fun. Or we treat him as someone who is to be used for our own ends, so that if we want something done, we either find ways to manipulate God into giving the things that we want done, or we fix his name to it in the hopes that he will somehow get it accomplished. So all you do is stamp in Jesus' name to your request for a Mercedes-Benz, and all of a sudden you'll get that Mercedes-Benz. To put it succinctly, we tend to use God as an idol to accomplish our own dreams and our own visions for the future that we want. As you can see then, there's something wrong with our current situation. And there's a part of us that keeps hoping against hope that something can change it. That's why we like transformation stories. On some level, there's a part of us that hopes that transformation can be true for my life. Well, St. Paul has beat you to the punch. In this morning's epistle, he says that it already is true for your life. You, dear friends, you baptized Christians, you have already been changed. For once you were darkness, but now you are light, Paul says. At one time, Paul says, you were darkness. Notice that. He does not say that at one time you were in the darkness. No, what he says is that at one time you were darkness. That is a very important distinction. The human situation is not one in which we, human beings, are just spiritually and morally neutral agents who happen to be living in a bad place. Worse yet, it's not a story in which we are good people who have been planted down into a bad world. That's the way of Gnosticism, a false belief that arose early in the church and that still sticks around today, which says that life is all about escaping this bad world. It's all about escaping the bad body, and it's all about escaping the bad creation around us. So the way of Gnosticism is that you learn some secret, some religious secret, that you can then give to the divine, And on the last day, the divine will let you step forward into some spiritual heavenly realm where you will be disembodied but float around as a spirit for all eternity. That's what Gnosticism says. But that is not what the Christian gospel says. No, while it is true that we are human beings living in a broken and fallen creation, the truth is that we are very much culprits and participants in the brokenness of this world. In other words, we're not merely victims of evil, but we are also participants in evil. That is the foundational definition of what it means to be born as a sinful human being. We are those who are by birth out of tune with God. And being out of tune with God, we are out of tune with one another, and we are out of tune with God's good creation. It all starts from the top. When our relationship with God is not right, then our relationship with one another is not right, and our relationship with the creation is not right. So as Paul says, we are darkness. But notice that Paul puts that in the past tense. Paul says, you were darkness. Were, past tense. Why? Because all of that has changed. You have changed. Jesus Christ has given you a spiritual makeover. By his victory over the powers of evil on the cross, he has removed you from the power of sin, both within and without. He has removed you from the forces of evil within and the forces of evil without. He has transferred you from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. He has declared that through the forgiveness of sins, you have now been justified, you have been put right with God, placed back into a proper relationship with God, which is a relationship of faith. And consequently, you have been made light. Now notice again the verb tense. You are light in the Lord. Not you hopefully are light. Not you will be light. But you are light. It's a done deal. You are men and women who have been made new by God's grace. It's in light of this then that St. Paul issues his encouraging exhortation when he says, live as children of light. Paul is not telling us to live as children of light so that we become children of light. No, what Paul is saying is that because you are now children of light by God's grace, because he has transformed you, because he has renewed you, because he has given you the new birth, live into who you are. Be the kind of people that God has made you to be. Now, what kind of people then have you been made to be? People who bear the fruit of light. People who bring forth all that is good and right and true. People who bring forth good works. Now, of course, we don't do this on our own. In fact, we cannot do it on our own. As our colleague last Sunday put it, we have no power of ourselves to help ourselves. That is an absolutely true statement if ever there was one. We have no power of ourselves to help ourselves. No, we need outside help to be able to bring forth the fruit of light. That's one reason that God has given us his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, as we say every Sunday when we say the Nicene Creed, has been given to us to help us produce the fruit of light. He works in us to make truly good works come through us. And he does this, and as he does this, he leads us to approve what is pleasing to the Lord. Now, there was an awful translation in today's epistle, just terrible. It said, try to figure out what the Lord's will is. The Greek does not say, try to figure out what the Lord's will is, as though it was some veiled mystery for us. What it says is, put your stamp of approval on God's will. Approve what God's will is. Approve what is pleasing to the Lord. That's what happens as we begin to bear good fruit. We approve that what the Lord has said is good, and that we are doing it. Of course, there's also another side to this as well. As those who have been chosen by Christ and who have received his grace, as those who are now light in the Lord, you and I are called to take up a fight. This fight is a fight against the old sinful nature in all of us. In making us new, Christ doesn't call us to then bear good fruit and say, well, otherwise, just keep on keeping on. Just keep on how things are going. No, he calls us to fight against ourselves and our sinful inclinations. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what people do in secret. There is our fight, to expose the unfruitful works of darkness. This must first of all take place within ourselves, but once again, not by ourselves. It is the Spirit's work in us, the Spirit who works by the Word of God to expose that which is shameful and which is against God's will and purpose in our lives. And He will do it. As you hear His Word, as you open your Bible up daily and read God's Word, God will find time to drive you to your knees in repentance. There will be moments where you are encountered by God's Word and you hear something that's a big wake-up call, and it causes you to fall down and say, Lord, have mercy. That is what is going to happen. And as He does that, what He is doing is He is making your light to shine brighter, so that you will become something of an exposing light to the world around you. You will be the means by which Christ shines His light. As He declared, I am the light of the world. You will be the means by which He shines His light into this world of sin and darkness, all with the purpose that He might bring it all to salvation. You see, friends, God loves this world. He made this world and everything in it, and He doesn't want it to perish. He does not want the people that He has made to die in sin. And it is to that end that He came into the world as the light of the world, to break into the darkness, to redeem us, and to save His creation, that He might renew it someday. That's why He died such a shameful and horrible death for our sake. It was for us, so that we might be set free from evil, so that the creation might be set free from evil, so that it would lose its grip upon us. That means that there is a day coming when all will be transformed. Sin and death will finally be done away with. The world will finally be put to rights. Justice will finally be done. As the scriptures describe it, God Himself will be with us. He will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things will have disappeared, they will have passed away. All things will be made new. You, His baptized believers, are the first fruits of all of this. You are a new creation, as St. Paul says. You are the beginning of this movement of Jesus to make all things new, to renew all things. You, who were once darkness, have been made light, and through you, Christ is shining His light on the world. Not for judgment, but so that He can save it. As what was probably an early baptismal hymn puts it, that Paul quotes in this morning's epistle, sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. He has shone on you, friends. He has shone on you. And now He is going to use you to shine Himself on the rest of the world. Amen.
Amen.
Let us stand and profess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father,
the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ.